outside, they would lose their jobs. And so children was used in the civil rights movement there. But and also that the Sudan has been, the Sahara Desert has been coming south for 3,000 years, according to Chancellor William. He wrote The Destruction of Black Civilization. And also he talked about the conflict with the Sudan 50 years ago in his book.
Okay, let me begin with the first one. There were two kingdoms in Northern Sudan. The kingdom of Fanj around River Nile, and the Sultanate of Darfur in Darfur. Both of these were slave-based kingdoms. The difference was that the enslavers in the kingdom of Fung were Arabs. The enslavers in the Sultanate of Darfur were Fur. Sultanate of Darfur was a Fur Sultanate.
He had accepted Islam, though. Right.
Is there a problem?
Well, no, I mean, because there were people there who were not Muslims before the slave trade. You had indigenous Africans.
Let me talk about the question you asked, sure. Which is Arab.
Sure.
Arab. Because right. In this conflict today, everybody is a Muslim. The rebel movements are Muslim.
Right.
The government is Muslim. Everybody is Muslim. No Christians in any significant sense.
Okay.
Maybe 1 or 2%. But what I'm saying is, there was a section, if you look at the leadership of Save Darfur, one section came out of those who had been in solidarity with the struggle in South Sudan and who assumed that Darfur was just another version of South Sudan. Well, Darfur wasn't. One, because historically the slave trade was not an Arab slave trade in Darfur. Two, because in South Sudan, the conflict began from the very outset as a conflict against the central government. In Darfur, it began as a civil war. Only in its last phase did it become a conflict with the central government. That is why in Darfur, you don't have a John Garang. You don't have an SPLA. You have two movements to begin with, but complete fragmentation. Even if you solve the problem with the central government today, the causes of the civil war remain, and the main cause is the land question. Every consultation that has been held from Abuja on Darfur has only brought one side to the civil war to the table, the rebel movements. It has not brought the nomadic side to the table. It's been left out as Arab. Now, I'll say something more about Arab, this question of Arab. Because the literature we're talking about, Chancellor William, Sheikh Ahmed Yor, is an important literature. But there's one thing one needs to keep in mind. The dominant history written of Sudan is a history which the British wrote in the 19th century. It's a history which even the nationalist historians of Sudan just accepted. And that is a history which says that Sudan is a land which was Arabized, and what they understand by Arabized is civilized, by Arabs who migrated from the north. When I began to read history of Sudan, I became conscious that there was no Arab invasion of Sudan. In history, none. There was an invasion from Egypt in the 13th century 14th century of Nubia. But it was not an Arab invasion, it was an invasion by the Mamluk power, slave dynasty in Sudan, in Egypt. And they invaded because the Arabs that they had thrown out of the army and were demanding they pay tax and were refusing to pay tax were moving into Nubia as refugees. They invaded to install a proxy regime which would stop this flow. Travelers' reports over the next 100 years show that those who came in as refugees ceased to be Arabs. They became Nubians. They began to speak the Nubian language, same in Beja country in the east. And they gave up their nomadic lifestyle for a settled lifestyle. There is another historical literature. And this whole period, which gives us a different explanation of who these Arabs are. The explanation it gives us is, first of all, there was no mass migration of Arabs. Second, because there was no mass migration, there's not a single history of Arabs. Because different groups became Arabs at different times for different reasons. If you look at the history of that middle belt of Africa, from the Red Sea to Senegal, every royalty in the 15th century, 16th century claimed to have come from the Holy Land. The kings of Ethiopia claimed they were related to the kings of the Old Testament.
Right, Solomon.
Right, Solomon.
Malibu. Right, Sheba.
And the Muslim dynasties claimed they were descended from the house of the Prophet. They were the first to claim to be Arab. The merchants were the next, because over the 18th century, Nubia, it became the kingdom of Fang, became a mercantile society. By late 18th century, there were 30 towns, and new conflicts arose from the marketplace. The king said, we resolve them through custom. The merchants said, no, we resolve them through Sharia. Why through Sharia? Because Sharia, having just come from the Byzantine period, was particularly commerce friendly. It is when the merchants won out, they said, we are Arabs. What did they mean? They meant we are cosmopolitan. Cosmopolitan culture in that part of the world at that historical period was Arab. Last point. The slave, what we call the Arab slave trade, was not a slave trade by Arabs from the Middle East. It was a slave trade by Sudanese who had declared themselves Arabs. It was an internal slave trade. W.E.B. Du Bois, in his book on Africa and the World, recognized this. And he recognized the nature of the propaganda at the end of the 19th century, talking of the Arab slave trade as a Middle Eastern slave trade, that this propaganda dovetailed with the imperial aspirations of the European powers. Anyway, I have a whole 2 chapters on this question because it bothered me so much.
Yeah, we just finished.
But I had to sort of go into it. I'm sorry to have given such a long answer. Clearly, it bothered you too, sir.
Yes, it does.
We're together.
Yeah.
Yes, please.